This is Hidden Mysteries Radio, discussing the topics no one else dares to. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hidden Mysteries Radio for this June 19th, 2015 episode. Well, actually, it's going to be a June 20th episode because now we're posting on Friday night, Saturday morning, whichever way you want to look at it, 1 a.m. Central Time. We got a couple of important topics to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the prediction by Ron Paul of the coming Day of Reckoning is what he's calling it, the coming economic collapse. And we're going to talk about the Charleston shooting. And Ghost.
Well, happy Juneteenth to you, too.
Yeah, happy Juneteenth. That's what today is, Juneteenth. For people that don't know, who don't live in the South, or especially in Texas, Juneteenth is the unofficial holiday that when blacks celebrate finally hearing about the Emancipation Proclamation. But that's not what the show is about tonight. The show is about what it occurred to me, the craziness that has been all over the news all week long. It made me think of a saying that the Manson family scrawled on the wall in blood, "Helter Skelter is coming down fast." It sure seems that way, doesn't it, Ghost?
Yeah, it does. And this Ron Paul thing, it got a lot of people on the edge of their chairs.
Well, not only that, you combine that with the craziness that's going on with this shooting and all, and a lot of other things that are going on, way more than we have time to talk about tonight.
Now, is there really any more shootings than there were 50 years ago, do you think?
No.
Just a lot more publicity.
A lot more sensationalism. And we'll get into that when we get to the shooting. We're going to start off.
I just cannot remember President Eisenhower getting up and making a speech for a shooting.
No. Well, let's start off with this. this is from RT.com. Ron Paul, economy will soon have a day of reckoning when you'll see the very, very big crash. As the stock market surged close to all-time highs and the Federal Reserve hinted it wouldn't raise interest rates, former Representative Ron Paul, Republican from Texas, reiterated his fears that the U.S. economy is not sustainable, predicting a huge crash in the near future. And here's his quote. "I look at the markets as being unstable, which means some days they go up a lot and some days they go down rapidly. But they don't advance very far when you look at real growth," Paul said on CNBC's Futures Now on Thursday. "The Federal Reserve won't allow this market to drop. This is why I've always leaned toward the assumption that the Fed is never going to raise interest rates deliberately. I think the market will raise interest rates." On Wednesday, the Fed released a statement that indicated it would not raise interest rates at this time, leading stocks to surge on Thursday. The NASDAQ topped its intraday high from March 2000, while the S&P 500 closed less than 1% off its all-time high. Paul blamed the chairman of the Federal Reserve for causing economic instability, noting that their every word can be interpreted by the market actors in radical and unexpected ways, leading to havoc. Market-determined interest rates, he suggested, would lead to more stability and better results for the economy. And here's another quote from him. "And we live in a chaotic world that's totally unreal. People don't depend on savings for their capital. They depend on the Fed. And the Fed says the slightest thing about, oh, maybe we shouldn't print so much money till next week, you know. All kinds of things happen," he added. Eventually, the value of money, the purchasing power of money, will require that interest rates go up. But that is the game they're playing. They fool a lot of people. And as long as people believe, the majority of the players still believe this, they'll still be involved and they're going to make a lot of money. One of the things that Paul is adamant will happen is that the stock market will crash, bringing with it the entire U.S. and possibly the world economy with it. It could be tomorrow, it could be a month, it could be a couple of years, because it all depends on a psychological acceptance of the system, he said. I don't think there's any way to know what the time is, but you know, after 35 years of a gigantic bull market in bonds, believe me, they cannot reverse history. You cannot print money forever and deceive the markets forever. Eventually, the markets will rule, and that's only a question of when that will happen. And of course, I run a little bit scared because I think there will be a day of reckoning, Paul added. He blames the fallacy of economic planning through monetary policy for the instability in the economy. You cannot have it, he said. It's artificial. It has nothing to do with freedom and free markets and capitalism and sound money. But it's all artificial. It's all political, and that is why we are so vulnerable, he said. So we're all on the verge. The country, the world, is on the verge of looking more like Detroit and Greece than anything else. But in time, that will happen. It's probably not going to happen tomorrow or next month, but it will happen, because this is unsustainable. Paul said he thinks the market correction is, quote, going to be a lot more than anybody anticipates, unquote. That's a whole long, detailed article.
Way too long.
Well, yeah, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I've just read the parts of it that I'm going to read, but I will link it in the post. Ghost, what are your thoughts?
Well, I understand what the sign is, and everybody thinks, well, he wants to raise interest rates. That's dumb. Well, he's not talking about the interest rates you and I pay at the bank. He's talking about the interest rates that banks pay for the money that they loan you.
Right.
And the lower the interest rate means the more money they can create out of thin air.
Yep.
And the banks are doing it left and right, hand over fist again. And Mr. Paul is not the only one saying that. There's some billionaires, that one of them's in England, who's saying identical wording is what he's talking about, except he uses charts and graphs and numbers to prove it.
Right. Well,
I mean, I'm not one that goes with the sky's falling. I've heard that since Bircher days.
Yeah. Well, the problem here is, you know, like you said, the interest rates being low and everything, they're actually in the negative right now. They're below, or if not right this minute, they have been actually below zero. And I wish I had looked into this before we started the show, but I've wondered, and I've asked you before, if interest rates are negative, if they're actually a negative number, does that mean that when somebody comes to the Fed for a loan, some big business or bank comes to the Fed for a loan, that they not only get the loan, but they get
a bonus?
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
I mean, yeah. But, you know, keeping these interest rates low is really a subversion of every rule of economics that we've ever known, because when these interest rates are kept low,
the bankers are smiling.
Oh, they're absolutely smiling. But not only that, there's no way for anybody to plan in a dependable way for their retirement or to have a nest egg for a rainy day, because if you know the way that the system works, then you know that saving money is a fool's game, because you as they devalue the currency by printing money and they keep your interest rates so low, then over time your money, despite the piddling amount of interest that you get, is worth, it has so much less spending value that you would have actually gotten more out of it if you spent every penny every minute. And I don't think that's accidental either. You know, we have the consumer driven society that you know, we've shipped all our manufacturing overseas, and the only thing that's keeping us limping along is the fact that Mr. and Mrs. John USA will waddle up to Walmart every other day and get their obese bodies into the motor propelled cart and go around and buy cheap Chinese goodies. Well, what happens when everybody loses faith in this smoke and mirrors? And that's exactly what it is. It should really chill people to hear that Ron Paul said we are living in a world that is not real.
What bothers me most is this time around is this people like Ron Paul talking about it. It's the billionaire talking about it. I've read on e-commerce this today. They're predicting another dot-com bubble. It's going to collapse.
Well,
because Amazon, Google, Yahoo, eBay, Facebook, they've got all this super high-priced stock. It's all intangible goods. They own nothing.
Well,
what does eBay own? All the thing they sell is what's in your garage.
Yeah, well, the dot-com bubble is a good example, but, you know, it really is like comparing the dot-com bubble. Think of it as somebody farting in the bathtub.
No, and, I'm talking about all this stuff is heading at the same time.
Right,
time.
Right.
You have another housing bubble.
Sure, sure.
We're already predicting that.
Well, it's a giant bubble, and this time it's based completely on monetary policy. And
Which is nothing.
Right. And it's been getting pumped up and inflated for about 12 years now. And what I'm saying is the comparison between the dot-com bubble and this bubble here that's going to burst, it's like comparing some guy farting in the bathtub to the Hindenburg explosion.
Well, I know that guy in England said that it's going to make 2007 look like a walk in the park.
Yeah. Well, everybody go and check that link out. And start doing your research and figuring out what you're going to do, because, you know, it's not just the baby boomers. You know, Gen Xers are getting close to retirement age now, too. And I'm not a financial advisor, so I'm not going to be crude enough to suggest to you what I think the alternatives are. But, you know, look upon everything that you're being told with somewhat of a jaundiced eye and try to figure out what your alternatives are. Because the way that everybody's being told to do things, to have all your money in these 401ks where you have some administrator gambling on Wall Street with your money and all that, when Wall Street crashes, you're going to be in trouble if that's where all your money is.
I know people don't realize that when Wall Street crashes, so does the gold and silver.
Sure, sure. So, like I said, you know, I don't personally have any solutions that, you know, I'm not an expert and I'm not going to hand out these solutions.
We're not crying the sky's falling here.
No.
But we do feel an obligation to warn you that you have a chance to look at it if you hear us.
Yep. Well, with that, we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Charleston shooting.
Truth seekers and freedom-loving Texans, HiddenMysteries.com is the place to find those hard-to-locate books for your research. HiddenMysteries.com has the largest and most diverse knowledge-based selection on the Internet today. Be sure and visit HiddenMysteries.org for over 12,000 free articles for truth seekers. Visit HiddenMysteries.com today or call 903-876-3256 for a free catalog.
You're listening to HMR, Hidden Mysteries Radio, HiddenMysteriesRadio.com.
The liberty of Texas is under assault. The American Constitution has been shredded. The 10th Amendment has been forgotten. The meaning of freedom has been perverted. Washington's values and the values of Texans are opposites. Texans are victims of tyranny not seen since Santa Ana, Obamacare, oppressive taxation, porous borders, more socialism, and firearm restrictions. Sam Houston said, Texas will again lift his head and stand among the nations. It's time for Texas to be free. Texas independence now. The Texas Nationalist Movement.
All right, let's get right to this Charleston shooting business before we start talking about it. I want to read a little piece from the Council of Conservative Citizens website because it's very short. It contains a lot of details, and it expresses sympathies that I think you'll agree with, Ghost. And if I'm wrong about that, correct me when I'm done.
Done.
The perpetrator of the Charleston spree killing has been arrested. The suspect is a 21-year-old named Dylan Storm Roof. The shooter was probably targeting blacks out of racial hatred. A victim of the shooting says that Roof expressed anger over black-on-white rape. However, he killed more black women than black men. He had previously been arrested twice while engaging in extremely suspicious activity at the Columbiana Center, a popular mall in Columbia, South Carolina. These arrests took place last February and April. He was also allegedly abusing antidepressants and other drugs. He had a pending felony drug charge for suboxone, methamphetamine, LSD, and cocaine. The 21-year-old was a lone wolf that is not believed to have ever been a member of an organization. Friends say he was never active in politics and had lots of black friends in high school. Roof also has a Facebook page created earlier in 2015. He had over 80 Facebook friends, and 25% of them are black. The media is focused on a picture uploaded May 21st that shows Roof with patches on his jacket representing the old flag of South Africa and the old flag of Rhodesia. It is unclear what caused Roof to go on the shooting spree. It seems that Roof's interest in racial politics started only recently. It is a relief that the perpetrator has been caught. However, the loss of 9 lives is devastating. It could also have severe consequences in terms of race relations in the U.S. in general, and South Carolina in particular. The attack was similar to when ISIS bombs Shiite mosques. It is to incite the other side to retaliate and create a situation where the violence between the two sides spirals out of control. We pray, for the sake of all Americans, that there will not be an escalation of racial tension. It is also newsworthy that the shooter is alleged to have been a heavy user of SSRI antidepressants. A very high percentage of spree killers in the United States have been on this drug. Side effects of SSRIs include homicidal rage. Well, Ghost, what do you think about it so far? I know everybody, Ghost doesn't watch the mainstream news a lot, and the shooting came as a surprise to him, so I think it'll be interesting to hear a fresh perspective on this.
Sounds like mind control to me.
Yeah, it sure does.
He's a sleeper.
Yeah, and one of the first things I want to point out here, and I've already put the exhibits in the post here, the local news tweeted out photographs, and the tweet said Charleston police release better quality photos of the shooter entering the church. And then that tweet's embedded there, and you can see the pictures, and then right below the pictures I have a video. Now, this shooting happened day before yesterday at 9 p.m. is what I read. And you just look at the tweet and the pictures, it ain't 9 p.m., is it?
Not even the right day, is it?
Well, I'm talking about just the pictures, the photographs.
No, it looks like it's in the early evening.
During the daytime, yeah. And I've got a video under it where the YouTuber who uploaded it took a screen cap of the security video, put it into Photoshop, blew it up bigger, and darkened the background and lightened the timestamp on the security video so that you can clearly read the timestamp on the video. Now, the timestamp says June 7th. That's odd.
Is anybody from the church recall him being there on the other day? Or you know?
Well, yeah, there were witnesses immediately who were saying they saw him. One or two that were on the news. And not only that, you know, they described a white guy in a gray sweatshirt and all. The odd thing here, though, is they all said that he had close-cropped hair. And as you'll see in the picture that we have on the video player here, his hair is anything but close-cropped. It's a kind of a Mo Howard-type bowl haircut, which is also very reminiscent of Adam Lanza. They both have the same hollowed-out expression on their faces, the same tense jaw muscles, and the same weird
these CIA experiments are going awry.
They are. And the other thing is, when I said that yeah, there were witnesses, one of the reasons that until more evidence comes in, now I'm not saying that anybody there is lying or anything like that, but there have been too many times, like with the Sandy Hook shooting, when you know all these people descended on Sandy Hook after that shooting, investigators and such, and they were pointing out that the pictures in the mainstream media of a lot of the mourners, like one in particular of this mother who's screaming in agony because her child had died, well, this person was also screaming in agony because someone, some loved one of hers, was blown up at the Boston bombing a couple of months before. And these things...
Good, well-paid actors, huh?
Yeah. And, well, and... excuse me. One has to wonder... why is it that they just pay these same people to do this stuff over and over when they know that there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of skeptics out there who are watching for this
man
stuff?
Man has a lifetime, or young man, of no racial tension within his own life, right?
Apparently, yes.
And all of a sudden, in the last 2 weeks, he's gone schizoid and become a gun-wielding maniac going into a black church to kill people.
Right, and not only that.
Now, does that sound like the Hinckley, the one that went after Columbine?
Right. Well, and other than Hinckley, because I don't think that SSRIs had been formulated back then. No. But other than
they
him,
they were on drugs though.
Right.
Kind.
Oh, sure. But every single shooter in these mass shootings, and I mean all of them, in the last 10, 15 years or more, and you know, ever since the Columbine shooting, they've all been on SSRIs. Let me spell this out for the folks out there what SSRIs are, because a lot of people don't know. SSRI means selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. Now, what these SSRIs are, they're the drugs that you hear about on TV all the time. They're allegedly happy pills. They are Prozac, Paxil, Wellbutrin, that kind of thing, that the doctors just love to get their pads out and scribble out prescriptions for them. Well, they have some really bad side effects that have been reported on since, you know, a decade or two ago when they first came out and started getting pushed in the you know, on people who would have a little bit of
Trump capitalism for health.
Well, no, but
or sanity.
But there were reports back then on 60 Minutes how the extremely high incidence of people who, you know, all that was wrong with them was they said they were a little depressed or whatever, and they get put on these things, and the next thing you know, they've either killed their family or they've killed themselves, and it causes homicidal rage and suicidal depression are two of the side effects, which is just what you're looking for when you go to the doctor and you say, hey, doc, I'm depressed, you know. But all these shooters have been on these things, and one really interesting example of that is the Batman shooter. Remember that ghost a couple of years ago when the new Batman movie came out? Mm-hmm. You know, it was a whole big thing, too. You know, this guy went into the theater I believe it was Aurora, Colorado, which is, I mean, it's just butt cheek to butt cheek with Columbine. And let me point out here that one of the odd things about all these shootings originating in that area, as many of them as there have been, is that DARPA does...
Experiment on the population.
Well, DARPA does most of its research there.
It's both experiments on the high schools.
Right. Well, yeah, and the college kids. See, this guy that was the... and I apologize to the listeners for not being able to remember his name right this second, but everybody knows who I'm talking about when I say the Batman shooter. He was an assistant. He was a college student. He was an assistant, like a research assistant, for this professor that was doing a DARPA experiment that was openly about mind control. And not only was he the assistant, he was one of the subjects. They had him on this ungodly cocktail of SSRI antidepressants and benzodiazepine tranquilizers. And that is the combination that we seem to see all these shooters recently on, including the one that the guy out in, I believe it was Arizona or was it New Mexico, where they shot Gabby Giffords. I believe that was Arizona. But
it was Arizona.
Yeah. And they all have the same crazy look on their faces when they get their mugshots taken and all. But the SSRIs, as we discussed here, they cause the homicidal rage and the benzodiazepine tranquilizers such as Xanax, it's well known that they reduce inhibitions, they cause a person to act without fear. They cause a person to lose their future time orientation, be completely centered in the now, and the effects of them to the outside observer, you know, like if I dosed you with a bunch of Xanax and I brought somebody in here to look at you, if they couldn't smell you, they'd think you were drunk. You know, that's kind of how they behave. So you have a really volatile chemical situation going on in these guys' bodies. But the Batman shooter, as I said, he was the assistant and the subject, one of the subjects in this experiment. And as part of that experiment, as they increased the drugs and they changed the various stimuli that, you know, they would subject him to, kind of Clockwork Orange sounding stuff from what I've read, he had to keep a journal every day where he would write down his thoughts, his ideations, his emotional swings and that mood swings and all that kind of stuff. And the professor had dutifully, as was his responsibility, read and analyzed and kept a log of his you know, prognostications and all about the journal that the Batman shooter was keeping every day. And it was amazing that right after the shooting happened, when the media started digging for all the details on this guy, and they found this stuff out that they, you know, that this professor had had him keeping this journal and everything, they started looking through it. And they said, hey, a couple of weeks ago, this guy started writing in the journal that he was thinking about going and doing exactly what he went and did. And yet, you know, nobody stopped him. And the professor said, well, I just happened to forget to start looking at it, to forget to look at his journal every day, starting from that day forward.
You know, there's several movies out that are actually telling us the truth, and most people think they're fiction. One of them was that one with Denzel Washington. You remember that one? The name of it?
Oh, you're talking about The Manchurian Candidate. The original was with Frank Sinatra, but yeah, it's basically the same thing, yeah.
Manchurian Candidate was one. They Live, conspiracy theory.
Right.
Now, somebody's telling us this is going on. By the time it's gotten to the movies, you know what's been going on for probably a decade.
Well, and I think the movies are probably part of the psyop, too, oftentimes, because, you know, they put these things out in the movie theaters, and they give them the big Hollywood treatment. And, you know, in one theater, you've got Night of the Living Dead. In the next theater, I mean, you know, of course, I'm just pulling these titles off the top of my head, but the listener knows what I'm listeners know what I mean.
Bambi, that's the worst.
But in one theater, you know, you go into the big multiplex theater, and in one theater there you've got Night of the Living Dead. In the next theater you've got you know, War of the Worlds, you know, all the sci-fi and horror fantasy stuff, and then in the next one you've got conspiracy theory, say. And in the minds of everyone out there, you know, these things are all equally fictional. Of course, Hollywood stuff, for the most part, is fictional, but there are exceptions. We'll probably do a show on that sometime, talk about some... They Live. We could do a whole show on They Live. I was also thinking about Kubrick. We could probably do a whole show on Kubrick, his involvement with NASA, his involvement with the military, and the themes of his movies. But anyway, but back to this thing. Now, I've talked about the Batman shooter a lot because we have so many details because of his being part of that program. But not only that, there were so many other odd things. He burst through the emergency exit, and all the people who were being shot at said there were multiple shooters. It was also reported right away that he was using an AR-15, and he didn't have an AR-15. He had pistols, but somebody was firing an AR-15. His AR-15 was recovered in the car.
That seemed like the missing people at the Oklahoma City bombing.
Right. And, well, there wasn't anybody really missing. They had the guy on video, security video.
They don't want to admit it was Osama bin Laden.
Right. Well, but anyway, so now we've got this guy. And if... And I'm not saying we know this is a false flag or a PSYOP, but let's just for a minute just assume that we do know that. The first question that you have to ask yourself, and, you know, very wise men have said this for a long time, the first question you have to ask yourself when you try to determine who is behind a thing, who's controlling a thing, is this: who profits from it? What do you think, Ghost? Who profits from this kind of thing?
I like to, you know, most people do think it's the government, but I don't think our government's smart enough to figure that out. It's got to be something bigger and shadier than the government.
Right. Like who?
Huh? I don't have a suggestion.
Okay. Well, I'm not...
The CIA is bigger than the government now, and it needs to be eliminated.
Well, the NSA, yeah. And
Mossad is probably one and the same.
Sure. NSA and Mossad, they
like
absolutely
ISIS
are
is Mossad,
one and the same.
But everybody wants to think they're the enemy.
Right, right. I thought it was... I'm sure they didn't put it in there for the same reason that I'm going to compliment it, but I thought that the Council of Conservative Citizens putting the reference to ISIS blowing up mosques, Shiite mosques, to cause the religious and ethnic tension and retaliation was very pertinent, because...
I got a gut feeling they're trying to, like you talked about earlier, get a riot war going here.
Yeah, and the thing is,
because they know the economy's going to crash. If they get the riot war going before the crash, they can blame the riots for the crash.
Sure. Well, and the other thing is here, and you know, I hate to beat a dead horse into the ground, but the black people are really falling for this. The all over social media, all you hear, I saw this. It's just an insane theme that you see. All these people have picked up on that. The biggest terrorist threat in the whole world is white people in America killing black people. And, you know, I have beaten, like I said, it's to repeat myself, to beat the dead horse once more. I have beaten this horse into the ground talking about the crime statistics and all that. So I'm not even going to bother going into that again. But there definitely seems to be a hidden hand behind all this.
Culture needs to watch what is manipulating their, not per person, but they're eliminating the whole group. Manipulating, not eliminating.
Yeah.
Manipulating them into areas they probably don't really want to be.
Well, you're talking about black.
Well, it could be the black, it could be Spanish, it could be American Mexican, it could be white.
Sure.
We're all being manipulated into certain pushes, just like we were manipulated into the Iraq War. Go, go, go. Now, you got all these peaceniks out in the 60s hollering for war. Now, you know, these people have been manipulated. They've been brainwashed into this crap.
Yeah, but, you know, just to touch on it for a second, this is one of the things that I have always talked about in very vague terms about why the... whatever you want to call it, Zog, the New World Order, the One World Government, whatever you want to call it, why they want all the powerful Western societies made so multicultural, because it's so easy to sow chaos by pitting the groups against each other. But like I said, you know, we've got this whole thing going both ways, and it's really radicalizing people. And one of the places where you see a lot of the propaganda going on, I saw CBS New York today, as part of the coverage of this event, posted a story called KKK and White Supremacist Groups Operating in the South, especially South Carolina. And the whole thing, it was a smear on anybody who is a member of any type of pro-white or race realist organization, to try to say that this guy was motivated by this, and that these people, that's what they're here for, is to go out and kill black people like this. And it was just, like I said, it just pure slander. These groups had nothing to do with this. This guy was precisely, as far as, now, let me qualify this afterwards, but he was a lone wolf.
They're trying to incite the riot. Tide of war.
Yeah, and they're going to get it, I believe. I really do believe they're going to get it. And
a lot of people pay attention to what we're saying.
They're not, yeah. And
turn off those TVs and quit listening to any news.
Well, but there's
they're not news anymore.
There's a problem with that, though. The people who listen to us are mostly from our demographic. And even if they don't want this, everybody knows that, or they're afraid. I'm saying they know because I think it's true. It's time to start preparing for this. I'm not saying go out and attack anybody. I'm not saying anything like that. But, I mean, good God, look what may be coming down the pike. You better be prepared for it. You better be prepared to fight. You better be prepared to go without.
Well, these basers want something to blame their mistakes on. And that sounds like a good idea.
Oh, absolutely. And it was it wasn't even part of my plan, but now that you bring that point up, I guess it was kind of proper to have the story about Ron Paul's prediction before this.
Too.
But
all this ties together. Who was it said nothing happens by
accident? By coincidence? That was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Whoever said that is perfect.
From Star Wars.
Script of what's going on.
Yeah, he said there is no such thing as coincidence.
You know, people that are here at us probably already know it, but the average person is brainwashed and manipulated 24 hours out of every day from some place, from something, from some electronic, some EMLF wave, by the chemtrails, everything is going to manipulate you into doing what they want you to do.
Yeah, well, those things definitely play a part in it. But even if you didn't have those things, look at the way that they manipulate society with the weird laws that they pass, saying that you have to associate with people whether you want to or not. You have to do this and that. Look at the way they manipulate you in the school system, the things that they teach the majority population about how to hate themselves.
All one and the same, because it came through the media. They would never got away with it,
right? And then you've got the media just pounding this anti-white narrative decade after decade after decade, which causes this crazy white guilt in a big percentage of white people and causes this anti-white hatred among non-whites. And the narrative has got to be crushed. It has to be destroyed, and people are going to have to get back to to ground zero. And
they're going to take care of your families.
Yeah,
and quit worrying about the next guy. I mean, you don't care. You do care about it, but I mean, you take care of your family first. Get ready for this thing.
Sure, absolutely. But the thing, and I'm probably riffing on this in kind of a meaning that you didn't mean by what you just said. But the thing about taking care of yourself and not worrying about the next guy, the problem is that the system itself has manipulated society into a paradigm where you cannot be left alone. You simply cannot be left alone. There are thousands upon thousands of special interests who will demand access to you. The government won't leave you alone. If you hold any kind of views that don't fit with mainstream ideology, the media won't leave you alone.
Telemarketing.
Right? Oh, yeah, telemarketing. I mean, that's people will laugh at that, but that's true. You can't get left alone from that. And people ask me all the time, what the deal is with my Sasquatch avatar and the meme that I have, with the Sasquatch thing. And I'll tell you right now, clearly, the reason that I chose that thing long ago was because I felt like the Sasquatch. I try and try and try to get away from everything and everybody, but the government and society at large will not leave you alone. No matter where you go, they're going to chase you down.
And that's one of the reasons I think people are, it's in your genes, it's in your mitochondrial DNA, whatever, that privacy that we've lost is being demanded by the body.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap this thing up. And if Ghost has anything else he wants to talk about, we'll talk about that. So we'll see you right around the corner.
Truth seekers in freedom-loving Texas. HiddenMysteries.com is the place to find those hard-to-locate books for your research. HiddenMysteries.com has the largest and most diverse knowledge-based selection on the Internet today. Be sure and visit HiddenMysteries.org for over 12,000 free articles for truth seekers. Visit HiddenMysteries.com today or call 903-876-3256 for a free catalog.
You're listening to HMR, Hidden Mysteries Radio, HiddenMysteriesRadio.com.
Just keeping it Texas on an RST. Just keeping it Texas the way it ought to be. As Texas as chili and barbecue. You wanna be RadioFreeTexas.org, bringing Texas to the world.
Everybody, do what the men said. Go check out HiddenMysteries.com for all your books. If you're interested in a better way than being ruled by Washington, D.C., check out the Texas Nationalist Movement at TexNat.org. I know they're good because their VP is sitting right here. And check out TGS Publishing if you want to get your book published. Just go to HiddenMysteries.com and email through the Contact Us link there, right, Ghost?
That's right.
And if you want to hear the best country music in the history of the universe, that means you want to hear country music that comes right out of Texas. And to do that, go check out Radio Free Texas at RadioFreeTexas.org. That's RadioFreeTexas.org. Now, back to the Charleston shooting. One point that I really want to hit on this one, you know, I asked earlier who benefits. And to segue into this, I want to remind everybody of something that I bring up every time some government rat. And by rat, I don't mean someone who snitches. I mean a furry, four-legged, nasty creature with a big, nauseous-looking pink tail.
Enough about Hillary.
And, okay. Oh, I was about to say Rahm Emanuel.
Or Romney.
Or any of them. Remember, Rahm Emanuel is on video saying, and he was talking about the Gabby Gifford shooting. And he was talking to a little conference of Democrat Party ladies, donors, that kind of thing. And he said, never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, apparently...
Hitler didn't.
Well, no.
Took advantage of that Reichstag thing.
Well, I'm not sure...
I didn't say he did it. I said he took advantage of it.
Well, I'm not sure he took advantage of it. I think he probably did the right thing in that one. But, they had a bad problem, and they needed a firm
solution.
Hand. Well, no, a firm hand. A firm hand. There was no final solution.
Anyway, gotcha.
Well, you know, I'll acknowledge the final solution when somebody produces some records where one was ordered, because the Germans... You can say what you like about them, but
I like them.
Well, I do too. But you can say I like them a lot. But you can say what you know. Or when I say you, I mean whoever's hearing this. Say what you like about them, but they were very efficient. And if there's one thing they were known for, they documented everything 1,000 times in triplicate. Now there were,
wonder if they weren't the super race, because you think about it, one little country in the middle of Europe just about defeated the entire world.
Yeah.
It took the entire world coming against them even make a dent and make them go back home.
Well, I always say that they're...
I think Mother Nature had more to do with them losing than anything else.
Well, that in America. The thing I was going to say was, and I've discussed this with a lot of people who
are... Well, they spread too thin. That's the biggest problem.
Right. Well, but the thing is, I've discussed this, you know, with a lot of people who are really into the World War II history and that kind of thing, and... If you want to be cliche about it and call it master race or whatever, that's not the way that I referred to it in the discussions. But the real contest here to see who was the real ultimate warrior race that would have—I mean, I wouldn't have wanted it to happen. I wish World War II hadn't happened at all. But if you had taken everybody else out of the equation and put Germany and the United States head-to-head against each other. And don't get me wrong out there, listeners. I am not talking about this degenerate, weird United States that we've got now. I'm talking about when Americans were a race of people, and everybody understood that. I'm talking about Anglo-Saxon Americans, Anglo-Americans. If you put those two, you pitted them against each other, you would have had one hell of a fight that probably would have gone on a lot longer than 4 years.
Would be kind of like us against the China. We'd win by the numbers, but we probably wouldn't have won technologically or strategically.
Right. It'd be a hard thing to say, but you're right. Little Germany, they took on the British Empire, the Communist Russia.
France.
What does that mean? But
you were going to tell us about a little French signage a little while ago.
Yeah, but we'll get to that okay. When we're done here. I started off on with a real important point here, and we got off into World War II history, and I think we should do a whole show about that sometime. But never let a good crisis go to waste is where I was going here, and within hours of this shooting, our soulless president. Yes, absolutely, man. Soulless. He's a politician, isn't he?
Well, then Bush is soulless then.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, yeah. What do you think? I was choosing him because he was a Democrat or something?
I was just choosing because he's black.
Oh well. If I were going to pick on him for being black, I'd use lots of different type terminology.
Everybody wonders why he won, you know. And after 8 years of Bush, it's no wonder. No surprise he won.
Yeah. Well, anyway, never let a good crisis go to waste. Within hours, our soulless president was on television holding a big press conference explaining to us how this means we have to give up our guns.
And Congress went ahead and passed some laws restricting more weapons and stuff.
Well, not today, they didn't. I mean,
no, I'm talking about back during that scenario we talked about.
Yeah, they've done that in the past. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, first of all, how crass is it to try to take, you know, just assuming that the whole thing is real, for one. Let's just assume that it's all exactly the way that it's been portrayed on TV. Who knows? Could be. That's the least likely scenario, but could be. How crass for this black president to take advantage of these black deaths in this historic black church to try to get some kind of short-term political gain out of it to disarm the American people. And also,
what a black thing. I think they all do that.
Well, I know that. I'm talking about this.
Clinton made heyday over,
sure,
over Oklahoma City.
Well, he was black.
Well, kind of.
He said he was. He said he was the first black president.
I just didn't like that Jewish influence he had in the White House.
Well, I don't
like.
She
was pretty.
Yeah. I don't like the Jewish influence that Obama has in the White House, or Bush had in the White House, or Bush Sr. had in the White House, or Ronald Reagan had in the White House, or anywhere going all the way back to the Spanish-American
War. Clinton
had
his trained well.
Well, that wasn't his influence. That was that was the thing that they planned on holding over his head. But
he didn't care.
Well, and it's not that the dumb Jewish girl decided to try to get some kind of personal gain out of it. And when he didn't come across, she had kept the goose stained dress. You know, had the smoking gun on.
I think Hillary probably paid her to do it so she wouldn't have to.
I don't think Hillary ever had to. I think she only had to do it enough times to make Chelsea. You know, Bill, no matter what else you might say about him.
He could pick some pretty ones.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. He was a randy fella.
Well, he outside his marriage, he picked pretty ones.
Well, yeah, a randy fella like that would have more than one kid if the wife were heterosexual. But anyway,
some lady in Arkansas claims that her son is his.
Yeah, well, probably is. Now, what I was going to say, well, I don't know. Apparently, he shoots girls, you know. But, you know, that is determined by the male. But anyway, so you got Obama out there shilling. I chose that word purposely. He's out there shilling for gun control or an outright ban on guns. But he doesn't say a word about banning SSRIs. What the hell? I mean, if, you know, I've always said, and it's true, causation is not, or correlation is not necessarily causation, but that's what the average idiot thinks when a politician will get up there and say, every one of these shootings involved a gun, so we've got to ban the guns. Well, how about this? Every one of these shootings involved SSRIs, so let's ban the SSRIs.
You just about got it down to now to where you can't buy an American-made weapon anymore.
Well, yeah, that's one of the reasons that,
all our ammo are Israel.
I believe it was Colt just relocated here from New Hampshire, you know.
Texas?
Yeah. Sure did. Fort Worth.
It was a foreign move for them, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, see, New Hampshire.
They moved down here where people know how to use them.
Yeah, and I think that. I mean, not New Hampshire. I'm sorry. Let me correct myself. Not New Hampshire. New Hampshire has really good self-defense and gun ownership protections like Texas does. You know, it's the live free or die state. But no, Connecticut. Connecticut's where all the firearms.
Jaylees.
Yeah, but Connecticut has always been historically where most of the firearm manufacturers are. It's where Colt and Smith & Wesson and all are from. And
any of them left?
Well, I think Smith & Wesson may still have their corporate headquarters there, but they've moved most of their manufacturing off to Turkey long ago for a number of reasons. Not their revolvers and stuff, but they, you know, they've got new lines of shotguns and AR-15s and all, and they're making them all over there in Turkey. And you know, a lot of that has to do with globalism and the cheap labor and all, but also a lot of it has to do with the restrictive gun laws in the state they're from. So hopefully, you know, we'll see more and more gun manufacturers moving to Texas because, you know, as long as a gun's manufactured in Texas and purchased in Texas, the federal government has no say over it.
And the bullets for it, too.
That's right. And the federal government has no say over it unless it, well, of course, they're always.
Entire counties would be blessed with with something like a bullet manufacturing.
Sure. But, you know, the thing is, they're always going to claim that they have authority over it because the thing that the federal government uses to claim authority over guns and that kind of thing, you know, over the states is the, you know, interstate trade.
Sell them outside the state.
Well, but the problem is people have been trying that for a while now, and you can't find every single thing that goes in a gun in Texas. At least I'm sure. Well, you should, but you know, there are things like if you want some kind of Brazilian coke bolo wood for your grips or something like that, you're not going to get it here, and you know it doesn't grow here. Or we don't have, to my knowledge, at this time, we don't have the type of high tech. Metal industry that's needed to have the different grades of stainless steel and high tensile steel and various materials to make the gun. So they're saying if you buy raw materials, like if you buy your steel from, you know, Pennsylvania and you ship the steel down here and you use that to manufacture guns, well, that's interstate commerce, and so it goes, falls under the Interstate Commerce Clause, and the federal government has complete control over it. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Not if you use those weapons you make against them.
Well, right, but, you know, there's the problem. You know, we have heard, ever since I was a kid, I remember in the 70s and early 80s when I was going to school, I mean the 90s and 2000s, no, really, 70s and early 80s when I was going to school, you know, I went to school, I grew up right here in Northeast Texas, the capital of the world, God's country, the promised land, and you'd see all these guys with their pickup trucks. Remember when everybody had gun racks and they had their shotguns and rifles right there on the
Yeah, I'm from Fort Worth area, I know.
Right. Well, all those guys had stickers on their cars. I've seen this stuff since I was old enough to read, that they all would say, "You can have my gun when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers." But that's been tested a couple of times now, and so far, the guys who make these claims are coming up short. Because, like, for instance, when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, you know, the police chief held a big press conference and he said, "Nobody going anywhere with no guns. We're taking up all the guns." And the next thing you know, it wasn't just the New Orleans police. It was the ATF, and the FBI, and private contractors like Blackwater. They were not only on all the highways, stopping everybody, searching everybody. They were even on the rivers, you know, on the Mississippi River, because there was
going into empty houses, getting the weapons out of them.
Well, yeah. And, yeah, we've talked about that before. Now, where were these guys with their cold, dead hands, you know?
They were probably swimming.
Well, no, they were handing them over with their warm, live hands. Now, I'm not running anybody down for that. You know, when you have 10 or 15...
When you got a river for a front yard, for a front living room, shooting somebody isn't the first thing on your mind.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, when these guys are, you know, they pack all their guns up and they get in their boat or whatever, and they're heading up the river to get away from the flooding. When all of a sudden a Coast Guard type cruiser pulls up with big 50 caliber machine guns pointed at you, and 10 or 15 paramilitary guys board your vessel with automatic rifles pointed at you, The intelligent thing to do is to hand them over the weapon. But, you know, we just have to be aware of these things. Don't let the public forget about it so that they can prepare for it in the future.
Hide the weapons a little better.
Well, yeah, I suppose. It also helps to lie when you're being asked these questions. Do you have any guns? No.
What's a gun?
No, I hate guns. I'm a leftist.
I wish
tell them things like
that. On you, get it out of here.
Yeah, yeah. You're scaring me with those firearms, those big black scary AR-15s. But anyway, yeah, that's we got that, and not only that, you know, now you have Al Sharpton out there screaming that we need a federal law against white people murdering black people, and have you ever heard of such?
No, he's pulling your leg though.
No, he's serious.
Oh, he got a law saying that.
They have a law that says white people can't murder black people?
No, they just made it colorblind.
Right. I mean, well, that's I've always felt that way about the hate crime laws. Why do you even have them? Because whoever commits murder out of love, you know, and, you know, all this crap where you're going to judge what's in somebody's heart is just ridiculous. You know, ahead of time by writing a law is just ridiculous.
Thought police.
Yeah. But, I mean, if somebody murders somebody, don't we already have... I mean, I don't know of any place where you can commit murder and at least life in prison is not an option. And so, you know, the need for hate crime laws is 100% political. And their hate crime laws are always the slippery slope to hate speech laws.
To what?
Hate speech laws, like they have in Europe. You know, like putting poor old David Irving, elderly man, in prison for years and years because he's written books that don't allege, that prove that the Holocaust
didn't happen.
It didn't happen. Mm-mm. Oh, hey, and I want to shout out to Leroy out there. I told you I'd shout out to you if the Holo-Hoax came up. Leroy, you can find Leroy. It's actually a female. And she prefers to be referred to as Julia Asperger's. But if you want to go and, you know, give her a little support about her Holocaust denial, her Twitter handle is at, all capital letters, at YesIsrael13. So, you know, go and tell her what a brave lady she is for denying the Holocaust. But anyway,
I am glad the United States people in general are waking up. Because they're tired, even if they don't love or care less or whatever, they're just sick and tired of hearing that word every single day they turn on the news. Israel.
Yeah, they sure are. And, and anyway, Ghost, give us some thoughts, because I know you have some.
Where?
That in your head. That and I want them to come out your mouth and go through the microphone and out there into the internet. I know, based on knowing you, that just from what we've talked about here, that you have some thoughts on this whole shooting thing that are coming from a different angle than I could have possibly anticipated.
I just see it like, say, well, we were talking about earlier, all this stuff is mind control, because if teaching people didn't do it, then where did they get the idea that this is going to solve anything? It has to be the drugs. It has to be the mind control. It's the CIA or somebody out there, the Zogs, whatever you want to call them, trying to create a racial tension in the United States that doesn't exist, shouldn't exist, no need for it to exist. That's where I'm looking at on that stuff. As far as the guns, I think Texas ought to manufacture every little part they need.
I think so, too.
And we don't have to have the Brazilian hand. We can use mesquite wood, and we can use catalpa.
Well, you don't have to use wood at all anymore.
Cypress.
Most of your popular handguns now are made 100%, at
plastic.
Least the frames and all that. I mean, you have to have metal for the barrels, the strikers, and several of the parts. But, yeah, I mean, my favorite brand of handgun is a Glock. They're great. They've been around for a long time. That's the one they called the plastic handgun. And now all the manufacturers have their own versions of those.
All you got to do is you get a Japanese company or a Brazilian company, bring in the steel. Venezuela wants to sell their steel to us.
Yeah.
And they come into that 10-mile marker inside the international water line, and that's when you buy the steel. So it didn't cross the borders at the purchase.
Well, sounds like a plan.
My plan works.
Right. Well, now, I guess we're going to wrap this thing up here, because like most of these issues, it's just open-ended. And we're going to watch the continuing coverage of this thing. It's only a couple of days old. And and I want to shout out to my Swedish friend, Patriotin, for showing me the video of the security tape. So, you know, it's real important. This is the only way that we're going to get stuff out there, is that, we really are now in the age of internet and social media. We're able to create friendships and communities internationally, and it's really good.
They don't like that either.
No, they don't like that.
No, they don't like that.
And
we found out there's other people that don't like Israel being on the news every day, too.
Oh, sure.
All over the world.
Yeah. You just can't find them on mainstream media.
I even found some in Israel that don't like it.
Oh, yeah, lots of them. But anyway, we'll be back next week with another show. And if you're lucky, maybe before then with a little something extra. Weigh in with your thoughts in the comments section. Contact us about advertising, show subjects that you're interested in, questions you may have, at dj@hiddenmysteriesradio.com. Go to hiddenmysteries.com, buy some books. Contact TGS Publishing via the contact page at hiddenmysteries.com. If you have a book you want published, go check out the Texas Nationalist Movement at texnat.org. So, Ghost, anything else you'd like to say this evening?
Nah, but I'm ready for a UFO show.
All right.
Next time, maybe.
How about next week?
Maybe next week.
Well, maybe.
What happens during the week.
Well,
we'll talk. Have another round of shootings before then.
Yeah.
They don't seem to happen isolated. It's always in sequences. Like we had the one in Dallas, and all of a sudden this one.
Yep. Well, and there's lots more of them that don't go reported because they don't fit the MSM narrative. Anyway, and they're probably not false flags.
Oh, it might be black on black or white on white.
Black on white.
Can't have that on the news.
Right. Can't have black on white or black on black or white on white. It's always got to be white on black because, as we all know, whitey is the devil. Until next week, for Ghost, I'm Asmodor. Good night.
You're listening to HMR, Hidden Mysteries Radio, hiddenmysteriesradio.com.